as a tournament player, I will tell you this with all sincerity, the least efficient war gear I've ever seen on any.
Bless.
Listen up, Umi. This is a podcast with the most Tucker. This is Forge the Narrative.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Forge the Narrative. My name is Paul, your host for the Alabella All Souls podcast. I'm joined by Adam Camilleri.
Howdy.
And Tanya Gates.
Hey, everybody.
You might hear my voice as being a little ragged, everybody. I apologize in advance. It is not from talking about 40K. That apparently just never does it. I'm always ready to talk 40K, but at PAX Unplugged, I did go sing karaoke, and I think it took me down.
And if I sound congested, it's because I'm getting over a cold. I didn't get to do anything fun. I was at home resting.
PAX Unplugged, I do want to talk about it because that is... So I've been going to that for about 3 years. And I actually, like, I do this, like, the last time I did demos of 40K to hundreds of people. And the only reason I'm pointing that out is because, like, that convention has grown. It's the non-video game side of PAX and their convention series. I think there are multiple PAX conventions. Well, I know there are multiple PAX conventions, and this is like the board game, tabletop game side of it. And the Games Workshop did a paint and take, like a sit down and hobby demo as well. And just hundreds, if not thousands, of people went through that. They all got to paint an Infernus Marine.
Very cool.
Using a variety of paints. Of, you know, whatever they wanted to do, whatever color they wanted. There were some examples there. I did a quick example of a Blood Angel with contrast paint, like a 4-step process. It was interesting.
How did you find teaching people how to paint?
So I did not teach them how to paint. So I left that up to way more qualified people than I am to do that. I taught them how to play 40K. That's what whenever people would want by there. I did demos. I did 12 plus demos a day.
So is this the first time that you've done full 40K? I thought last time you went, you did Kill Team demos.
I did, yeah, Kill Team. And this is not the first time I've demoed 40K, but it's the first time I've demoed 40K at PAX. And we've actually done like things like Blood Bowl and Kill Team and now 40K. Buddy of mine, Tim, did demos of Warcry as well, which Warcry is an awesome game if you haven't played that yet. It is a skirmish level. It works similarly to Kill Team, but not the same as Kill Team, for a perspective on both those things. The Legion Imperialis was released that weekend, and it's pretty popular. I think that's going to be a cool game.
Curious to know how you found... Because you were pretty much doing the same job last year or the year before, teaching 9th edition, probably.
That was Kill Team last year, I think.
Fair enough.
Or Blood Bowl.
I was interested to know how you found teaching the two different editions, or how you found it is it easier or harder to convey some mechanics to others, or is it more streamlined? Just your opinion.
Yeah. So the tack that I went with it was basically laying out that the core rules are pretty easy to learn, and a lot of the complexity is moved to the actual units. And, you know, if you're not playing Combat Patrol, and actually what I did, I ran a demo of the Combat Patrol mode of 40K with Tyranids versus Space Marines. And the complexity of the units are kind of when you choose to add them into your army outside of a format like Combat Patrol. So you only have to learn, you know, the things that are right there on your data slate. And then the complexity of the rules themselves comes from actually playing it and not necessarily having to learn something brand new. Like, you know, things like Pylon and, Consolidates and, you know, other nuanced things like that. Pull the order in which you pull your casualties to either make a charge harder or to make sure you stay on an objective or whatever. Those are all little complex things. And they're things you may not recognize your first game through, but you certainly learn them over time. And then that's where the mastery comes in. So like teaching the core rules, had the core rules taught in, you know, 15 minutes. We'd play through the first turn of a game in 15 minutes. And then it
That's
becomes them. Yeah. But it's all, you know, how do you move? How do you shoot? You know, move, shoot. What is it? You know, then you go, well, we'll go through the whole phase of the game. You know, walk through the command phase, you know, kind of give us some examples about what the command phase is for, some things you might consider doing. Go to the movement phase, walk through a shooting activation, walk through a charge, and then flip it over to the other player's turn. And it gives you basically another time to reinforce what you just taught them the turn before. They get to see it happening again. And then it's kind of off to the races. You know, then start talking about, you know, some of the cool things about the game, how it's scenario based. You're actually trying to score mm-hmm. points for objectives.
Yep.
And if you feel like you're kind of outgunned or whatever, you can still focus on the mission. And the fact that, I mean, Warhammer is really like one of the ultimate replayability games in the world.
Probably the game in the world. Like, whichever version you do play, there's nothing else that is quite as fresh. because even playing the same mission, just going, changing who went first, who went second, is a completely different game.
Yeah, or maybe you made a deployment choice, you know, that's different this time.
Picked tactical and just drew completed the other half of the deck, or picked fixed instead of tactical, or, you know, whatever it is. I do 100% agree with that statement.
Yeah, and I would let allow the player, you know, there could be, you know, 10, 15 people there at a time. You know, letting them, you know, one person rolls to hit, the other person rolls to wound, the other person rolls armor saves, you know, and then kind of walk through that process, showing it to them, and then keeping everybody active on the table, letting them control certain units. And anyway, had a blast, and folks seemed to enjoy it. But I will say that sit and paint was probably the big draw, like, of the whole convention kind of thing. People loved it. And as soon as they got their hand on a miniature, got to see some art come alive for them or whatever, they're like, yo, let me go see what's happening over here. Let me pick up some paints. I'm now doing this at home.
Brilliant.
Yeah, it was nice. The vibe of the event is kind of laid back. It's like a kind of chill space, and which is cool. Con, you know, seems to really fill its niche of, you know, big games, cool things, cool people. But there was a lot more people there. To me, it felt like there was a lot more people there than last year. So I guess people are enjoying it, and it's taking off.
What city was it in?
Philadelphia.
Philly. Yeah. Beautiful.
Which I didn't know this till I was leaving. Like, and I've been there three times. Geography's not my strong suit or whatever. There's a river, and the New Jersey is right across the river. Like, it's right there. Things are so close up there in the northern east part of the United States.
It was wild. I was up in Washington, D.C., and then I was driving for Thanksgiving at a mate's family's place, and we realized if we kept driving for like another hour, we'd make it to the outskirts of like New York or something. And then we drove, you know, if we drove on a different road for like 2 hours, we would get, you know, close to Philly, and or we were so close to New Jersey and stuff like that. And I'm like, wow, it really is so different to, you know, the South and the West Coast of the United States, where everything is just so spread out.
Yeah, if you drive an hour from where I am right now, I mean, you're still in Georgia.
You're getting nowhere. Yeah, you're not even in Savannah, right? Even Savannah's like 2.5 hours.
Savannah's 4 hours away from me.
Yeah, 4 hours. Yeah, it's wild.
Yeah, to get to the bottom, like Valdosta from me, I think is 5 and a half hours.
That's Australian metrics.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's Canadian metrics. I want to go to like an actual city. I got to drive like five and a half hours to get there.
It's just the difference between the new world and the old world. Try a way of doing things, you know?
Yeah.
Before we got trains and cars, you know, everything was horse and buggy. You couldn't go that far, you know, in a day, in a week. So, you know, there was no point. What's over there? I don't know. My horse is tired, mate. That's like next month's job.
That is whatever. It's a whole nother state, a world, a country. Yeah. You know, like who knows? But no, it was a fun experience. Got some good food and good fellowship. Actually got to hang out with the team quite a bit, because the conventions, like, if it's for a game convention, it's like, it's only open from like 10 to 6. So you got a little bit extra time to actually hang out in the evenings, you know, not like when we're streaming from 8 in the morning till 9 at night. You're just dead tired. There was a little gas in the tank to hang out, which was very nice, and really appreciated getting to know some of the team more. And then, yeah, we made it to a karaoke place and pushed it too hard, man. Went too hard.
No such thing, mate.
Left it all on the stage.
So what's your karaoke song of choice?
Well, we did a few, but I did a little MCR, a little Queen. Had to shake it up a little bit with a little We Belong.
I feel like Queen is like playing karaoke on hard mode.
Yeah, too. It's a lot of octaves.
Yeah.
And Sierra's not far behind.
Yeah, I'm more of like a 90s alternative kind of gal because those notes are a lot easier to hit.
A lot of the crew hit those things. You'd have been in good company. But it was fun, and the time just being able to spend, you know, and seeing all the gamers and everybody coming through and playing the demos and checking out the booth. And typically the booth will have like hard to find stuff as well, you know, so, you know, being able to help people find something they were looking for, or, you know, pick up a limited edition thing, you know, you see it, you know, the kind of the joy of when you get one of those things in your hand and you want it and you can get it. It was nice.
Yeah. A mate of mine, managed to pick up a Fulgrim Enlightened, at the G-Dub store at the World Championships. And he was just like, this is literal gold, because it's so hard to get one. Well, he was from Perth, Western Australia, which is literally the most remote city on the planet. And he was like, there was just, yep. There was nowhere else where this was going to happen.
Nice. So Legion Imperialis was pretty popular, and I like how the fact that every, like Aeronautica and Adeptus Titanicus, it's all the same scale, so everything works for it. And so if you are picking that up and you have some of those models, or you thought it'd be cool to get some of those models and you didn't have a use for it before, like, because I'll tell you, the Thunderhawks look awesome.
Well, they've now done the same thing that they've done with, you know, 40K and Age of Sigmar. 40K, you have Kill Team. Technically, you know, you have Necromunda, which is on a similar scale, and you can use some of those models as, you know, cultists and guardsmen and other bits and pieces. And of course, you've got 40K and, you know, everything between. You've got Combat Patrol now as well. You know, I've got some Horus Heresy models that do double duty in, you know, 40K and 30K. And now Titanicus is like, has almost a holistic range of miniatures available that can play in different games. I think it's just a good design choice.
Yeah, if you get the starter set, you're going to want like extra stuff. Like, it's not in the starter set, it is not a full army for both sides. I mean, it's definitely going to get you going, but you're going to want to expand. And if you've already got some of those things to expand, it's just going to make that journey a little bit easier. So, you know, yeah, a bonus for everybody.
Yeah, that's the same as, you know, everything. I mean, if what was the latest box set, one with the Necrons?
Leviathan.
Leviathan is a good one, because that's like, you know, 600 700 ish odd points each. You know, you add just another HQ and another unit and you're good for 1,000 points. And so, okay, nice little package.
I got a tip for anybody that is going to start rocking and rolling the painting on their Legion Imperialis, is that the troops and those models are easier to paint if you leave them on the sprue, like by a mile.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, the bases they come with they are scenic bases. They're molded bases to represent, you know, like some going across a palace floor or something like that. And you're probably going to want to paint them in contrast to the miniatures themselves. And every painter that I've talked to, and I actually agree with this myself, not claiming to be a painter or whatever, but when I looked at the sprues the first time, it was like, I feel like it will be a lot of effort to paint them all on the sprue. I'll be able to get all around the miniature and, you know, paint the bolters, you know, and everything if I just leave it on the sprue. And
fair, good insight.
Now, everybody has their own way of doing things, and, you know, multiple methods out there, all good and all, but because of the size of these, you know, if it seems intimidating to work on them, I think it will be less intimidating if you leave them on the sprue while you're doing it and clip them out. Because in many cases, the connection point is actually at the bottom of the base. So it'll be a clean snip and you glue it to the base and go from there. But curious how everyone gets on with that. I have decided, I briefly considered a different Legion for my Space Marines in that game.
how many minutes?
How brief? Yeah.
Well, so the color scheme on the box is Death Guard, and it looks sharp. Like a Death Guard, a pre-heresy Death Guard color scheme looks sharp with that cool green, the shading of the kind of the creamy color with, you know, a brownish color. It just all comes together. The symbol's cool or whatever. And I thought about it, like, yeah, I can do that. I'm like, you know, what about like Night Lords or something, you know, or Alpha Legion or something a little bit different? But nah, It's going to be Blood Angels. you know, plus I thought about, you know, the campaign element of it. Like, wouldn't it be cool to have to play at the squad level and then play at the, you know, the massive planet invasion level with, you know, theoretically the same characters. But we shall see. We shall see. They're going to be red, though.
I feel like I would have a really hard time, like, painting anything else except pre-heresy World Eaters. There's just something so sharp about that white and blue. I really like it.
Completely agree with you on that. Like, that is, that blue is such a, it's almost like a unique color to every other type of Space Marine stuff.
It's just, and it's, okay, for me, I find blue is a very easy color as well, so if I have to struggle through the white, which I don't mind because I think white would look amazing at that scale, at least the blue is going to go on super easy. You know what I mean?
So, yeah, let's go into that. Now, when you get that little, I guess, that break from your painting chore with something you don't mind. Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah. So, like, if it was me and I was painting them, I would start with the white. I'd probably just cheat and do, like, prime white and, you know, maybe a really watered down wash. They have that contrast.
Oh, basilicum gray, like our super white, super diluted basilicum gray would probably.
Yeah. And I think I'd probably just hit that and then maybe like a little pure white dry brush. And then, yeah, I wouldn't do too much. I feel like the detail on those little models is so good, at least on the tanks and stuff. I feel like you don't have to actually do that much to make it look amazing. And then, yeah, some blue details, maybe a little metallic on there. Good to go.
You're exactly right on the detail too, is that putting out the rhinos and stuff, they are, I mean, they're just like shrunk rhinos. Like, you put them in the dryer for too long.
It's like the exact same amount of detail, but just like teeny tiny. But yeah, I feel really sad because I feel like I would really enjoy everything about Imperialis, but I just don't know if I could convert anybody around me locally to play it. And that makes me really sad.
We'll dig into the mechanics maybe on the next episode of just what, like, how you construct your force and like how to balance through a couple of turns, because it's a little bit different. It's not exactly epic from a long time ago.
Isn't it more like Apocalypse?
We'll let y'all be the judge. That'd be something cool to talk about next episode. And maybe I will have some of the things painted by then. I'm painting little bolters, though, seems a little intimidating, but I'm actually hoping, because the products are, you know, you hear us talk about this, the products are just so much better nowadays, like, than they were, like, in the past. Paint. Yeah. And like, you could use a little, you can mix some layers and some contrast paints and probably get something really spectacular with these models, as long as
I've seen. Yeah, I've seen some amazing stuff out there, and they I just can't stress enough, from like the work I've seen from some of the creators that have gotten them in advance, it doesn't look like they actually need to do too much to make them look absolutely incredible. You got this, Paul.
Thank you for the encouragement. Hopefully so. When I'm going to do a test run here, probably hopefully this week. I did also pick up some, so that whole notify me on the GW site when something's out of stock.
Yeah.
It works.
Well, so I have War Dogs, Chaos Knight War Dogs. I had on notify me for months, and I would get notified at like 1 a.m. that they were back in stock, and then I'd be waking up at like, you know, 8 a.m. Australian time, and they were absolutely out of stock again.
Yeah.
So yeah, it obviously it works, right? Because they were in stock and then people got notified, then they were out of stock. So the system works.
Yeah. Around here, Necromunda is kind of taking off and a lot of people are having trouble getting rule books. So they'll get the notification and it's the same thing. It's like 3 hours and the rule books are all gone. But our local game store caught on and ordered a bunch when they came out. So people are calling in, "Do you got any rule books?" And it feels so good to be able to have a store say, yes, we do. We were thinking about you.
Very nice. That is cool that they did that for them. I picked up 2 units of Inceptors that will give me some plasma, because I'd previously not built plasma. And I feel like for now, for like the last, 5 years, they've been good. I need to just get with the program.
Paul Murphy's so good at the game, he doesn't even need those plasma inceptors.
I do like, well, I've really been having a good time playing that, you know, the detachment that I was doing, you know, the advance and charge and that kind of stuff. Like, it's it's fun. And, you know, sometimes you need things that can complete objectives, you know, and deliver some punch. So I figured it was go ahead and time to pick some up. But I had been on the fence, but I finally kind of configured them around to get some get the points right. And I only have six of them in the plasma in the list, but, you know, they seem to work out all right. But continue to see, evolve with that. But I finally got them. And instead of getting that, I got the Reaver Lieutenant. I'm going to convert him to look like the other Phobos Lieutenant that just allows the move after you shoot.
Yeah.
People are going to have to get right with that.
I just got mine and just stuck a beaky Dark Angel's head on him. Good to go. Yep. He also is literally the personification of the Simpsons meme of two knives, which I think I've said on this show before. He's like, Mo with two knives. He's just so happy with his two blades. this is the best.
So I've had a blast running that still, and I'm going to flesh it out. I got on my painting table right now, I have a unit of aggressors, a captain in Terminator armor, which is not in the list, but I figure if I've got the blade out, I might as well paint it, and a Brutalis Dreadnought, which is also not in the list, but I figure while I've got everything out and the colors out, you know, I might as well work my way around all these models and, you know, at the end of it, just come away with some painted stuff.
Painted stuff.
Yeah.
That's it right there.
The name of the game. Well, look, you know, you already got the stuff out. You know, you got your lead belcher out or whatever. And for me, that's kind of what's, I get to that stage. And I know I've said this before, so I won't really belabor the point. But I get to the stage of metallics and I'm like, yeah, that's going to have to wait, you know. And so that's my barrier. I have to get through the metallic paint getting put on there. And if I can do that, like, the backlog is cleared.
So I have right now, sitting next to me, I have the last, I think, 25 Space Marines I'm going to paint.
Until, ever?
For now.
Okay.
Until I'm, I've got some Sword Brethren. I've got the last of my 20 Crusader Squad. And then I have a multitude of special characters. I've got a Shrike. I've got a Hellbrecht. I have a Khan. I have a Marnius Kalgar and Victrix Guard. And then it's hitting the shelf because guess what, baby? It's time to get OWR.
old world ready.
That's it. Getting old world ready, baby. At the G-Dub shop at the World Championships, I literally emptied one of my bags and was like, Paul, please take this home. And filled it up with Ogre Vanguard kits. So I bought two of those. I've got some Iron Guts on order as well.
I am Adam's Stream Gear Sherpa. Is what.
Yes, you'd be very generously hanging on to my.
Of course, yeah, I really have no problem with it, especially if it allows you to get more miniatures home. It's
express my. Never mind.
I hope that Iron Guts are as good in the old world for you as they are in Age of Sigmar for me. That's my wish for you.
Well, I remember them in first edition Age of Sigmar. They were one of my favorite things because they had the 3-inch reach. So I would just bubble out a bunch of nonsense in front of them and watch people crash into it and then get absolutely mulliganed by my Iron Guts swinging back 3 inches away.
Oh, now they're like rend 2 and 3 flat damage, and once per game they get to fight twice.
Oof. Yeah,
they're just like spicy. Whatever they touch dies. So good.
Some folks did ask about Old World at the booth. They're like, do you have any Old World figures? Like, tons of them, man. I did not say that, obviously, because I have no information about the Old World, about when, who, what, when, where, why, or whatever. You know, so it's like the answer was like, no, but you know, let me direct you over to the Age of Sigmar section, and you can see if anything jumps out at you. You know. But it's on people's minds out there, so I think it's gonna be popular, and it should be cool. See how that goes. Are you working on anything specific, or that you're hoping to work on beyond?
So no, right now I'm just looking forward to trialing a new scheme. I want to do a really pasty color scheme. So my old Ogre army had gray skin, like stony gray skin, because that was that was the original ogres I remember from, I think second or third edition fantasy when they first had their first miniatures. And so I was kind of evoking that. And I want to do that, but one step further. I kind of, back in the day when you used to be, I used to have to write some fluff to get some points at tournaments in Warhammer Fantasy. Yep. My tribe was based.
That's not just a fantasy thing.
Definitely isn't. My tribe was based on the Firemouth, which was where all the Firebellies came from, and it was all ashy and overcast. And so I want to lean more into that. So I want to have flesh colored, but I want it to be really ashy, pale flesh. And I'm actually thinking, so the other, I've really wanted to do a, I've always really liked the Chaos Dwarf miniature line, and now it's gone into the Legend section. But I kind of want to have them be kind of semi-linked to a Chaos Dwarf faction, so maybe sometime in the future. Because I do have some of those models, some of the old range. I could do a little force, you know, maybe just, because, I mean, I always loved the fact that there was an ogre, you know, manning the Quake Mortar. I always thought there's some links there to make these two forces be working together, or, you know, have a mercenary band for a Chaos Dwarf, or, you know, whatever. But I want them to look coherent. So I want dark, blackish armor. I want pasty, never seen the sun skin. I can't figure out what color to do the cloth. I was thinking a purple would be complementary, but a little bit too much. It would have to be really deep purple, like really dark purple. Mm-hmm. And therefore, what's the point? Are you even going to notice it? So yeah, open to ideas.
All right. Well, let us know what you end up on. Sounds like a fun project. And Tanya, I know that you're working on something too. Let's take a quick break and we'll come back and like chat about that, because I think that's a cool topic that certainly bears some investigation. See you in a minute.
FTN is brought to you by Discount Games Inc. Please visit them at www.discountgamesinc.com. And don't forget to ask Jay about ways to save even more on your hobby projects.
Hey everybody, we are back. Thank you very much for checking out our sponsors and considering our Patreon. That is just awesome ways to support the show. If that's not right for you, I hope you at least check out the sponsors, Discount Games, so you can at least take a look at their website. And if you can't get something right now, get something later. I'm sure he's would appreciate the sign up for the newsletter and all that kind of stuff. Then consider doing that. And also leave us some 5-star reviews if you have not already. No matter where you listen to us, hit that 5 stars and the thumbs up and all that stuff. It helps the world go around. We really appreciate y'all. So the topic that we were talking about right before we cut the break was that, Tanya, you mentioned that you're working on something.
I am, yeah. So I've decided I'm going to put the orcs aside for a little bit. It was fun, but I'm feeling the call of Imperial Guard again. So I took out all my models, and I'm looking at them, and I'm like, man, these don't fit with my paint style anymore. I feel like because this is my first fully painted army for 40K, and I feel like there's a lot of baggage from back then of like really wanting to fit in and like do something kind of conventional, and it just doesn't really suit who I am as a, I guess, miniature artist now. Mm-hmm. So, and the scheme is very dark. It's like dark green with dark gray and black, and there's just a few little red details on it. And I'm like, that's not really me anymore. So I'm keeping the dark. I'm keeping all the like dark green, dark gray, and black. And I'm adding in a bright ochre color and like a burgundy. So it's like a golden burgundy is kind of how it's going to look. And so I've painted one tank already with like the updated scheme, and it went really fast, which is hopeful. Now the plan is to go ahead and paint the rest of my 6,000 points of guard, just to kind of like bring them up to what my vision of my army is now.
So you're going to add to already painted stuff?
I am, yeah. So I don't feel the need to really repaint the main colors of each tank because they're so neutral. And then the burgundy and the ochre color really go well with the dark green anyway. So it's all just very complementary and just picking out details here and there just to make it more interesting and just make it feel like home.
So when with that, like, do you have a method of what you're attacking first? Is it going to be specifically for like an army list that you're doing it? Is this something you would do like before, like right before you go into an organized play event? Like what's going to be your method for deciding where you apply that hobby time?
I'm doing all of the tanks that are in my current list first. Just because I think they're really not going to take that long. Like I'm over halfway done this one Hellhound, and I've only worked on it for about an hour. So yeah, I mean a couple hours a tank for me is really good. So yeah, that's kind of the plan, is do the tanks first, and then I'm actually adding a bunch of Death Corps of Krieg infantry to the list. So I'll probably paint those next in the updated scheme. It's like a dark burgundy. I want to do their great coats. Yeah, then after that, I'll sort of pick out the rest of the infantry that I have in the list and then paint everything else. I'm going to leave my my Scions, though. I really like the color scheme I have for my Scions, so I don't want to touch that. I feel like they can be their own thing anyway.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah. So, and they're also kind of neutral. They're like white and blue. So,
and I'm sure, I mean, you get your own thing, and your army is gorgeous, by the way. So, believe me, this is not me trying to like say, oh, if you did this thing or whatever, but like you can get away, like one can get away with alternate color schemes off what are sub factions or faction, different factions within the same like world or whatever. I mean, mm-hmm. universe of models. And I feel like that sells even better when the bases are consistent, like across all the different models.
Yeah. And the bases are actually something that I really want to do, because when I was doing this army originally, like I was stress painting everything. Like I was consistently changing my list.
Is there another way?
I was chasing the meta.
I know. Wait a second. Is there another way of that?
Yeah, you could just, you know, take your time and enjoy the paint. You don't have to just constantly be stressing out about like the next event. So all of the bases right now are just a texture paint, like a texture paste, painted all the same color and dry brushed. And that's not good enough. So I want to do like scenic bases on literally everything. I just haven't decided what I want to do. And so the other thing too is when I was first getting started in the hobby, anytime that I would share like my lore ideas before I even started this army, people would like tease me and make fun of me. So I kind of just stopped doing that. But my guard, I always had an idea of what I wanted to do for the lore. So now I just don't care if people make fun of me. I'm just going to do it. So I really want the bases to tell the story that I want to tell in the lore as well. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to have to sit down and plan it out and figure out what I want to do there.
All right. I mean, as far as like lore wise, I mean, if you show up with anything, that's probably better than some high percentage of other people that would be.
I don't ever like to compare myself to what other people are doing. I just know that like with my miniatures, I want to convey something. Mm-hmm. And all of my other factions, the bases are kind of interesting, or at least tell the story behind my faction. Mm-hmm. Except this one. This army doesn't have anything going on with it. And so like all of my my orcs are death skulls. They like to loot stuff. And so they're like all of their bases are like a junkyard, right? They've just got trash and stuff all over their bases. And that's the story that I want to tell. And so all of my factions are like that. Like my Night Haunt army, all of the bases have stuff on them. So they have like downed logs and big boulders and swampy grass, but I've painted it all black and then dry brushed it like the fang and rust gray to sort of emulate that it's moonlight that's lighting it. So everything has like a cool story, except my poor guardsmen, and it's time to change that. Okay. They need a story. Yeah.
And I didn't mean to indicate or to insinuate that a lot of people don't think about the lore of their army. But I think that there's a large percentage of folks that are like, let's say Ultramarines players, they just have built in lore. They're playing something representing an Ultramarines force, and that's it. Maybe they have a name captain or a company within that or whatever, but the bulk of it is just Ultramarines. And you've got some small section of folks. Maybe it's bigger than I know about, but they'll have something unique, completely unique, that is all to them, you know, or some chapter or some force organization or whatever that is completely unique. And I mean, it's all good. I don't know why. I wouldn't sweat wanting to share it.
I don't care anymore.
Oh, there we go. Sweet.
Yeah. I just cared back then. But I do actually have like headcanon for my guard army. I just need to figure out how to convey that onto the bases.
A long time ago, played a guy, and incredibly nice guy, like not just incredibly nice guy, but he had written stories about his army, and the characters in his army had as a tournament player, I will tell you this with all sincerity, the least efficient war gear I've ever seen on any.
Less.
I was like, oh man. And he won his first game, but then found me in the second round, you know? So I was like, oh man. You know, but as he had a cool backstory, and yeah, his figures were cool and stuff. It just wasn't, it was not an efficient army list. And that's when when do you compromise the lore? That's, you know.
I think that there's a difference between like naming every single one of your models and that kind of lore, and just having kind of like headcanon about where they come from and maybe what their tactics are, which would, you know, maybe blend with your personal playstyle and things like that. I'm not going to go about naming every single model that I have on the table, because then also I'm going to be heartbroken when it dies. yeah, but you know, I just have some ideas. I have some ideas.
Not
but...
Jonathan the Bold. Oh,
no!
He just got his last gun. That was a gift from his grandfather, the yes. veteran of 3 campaigns across the Stardia system.
You know, like maybe if
I rolled a 4.
Maybe if I played like custodies, it wouldn't be so bad. But when you play guard and orcs, it's like everything dies, man. You can't get emotionally invested.
Yeah, well, if you're playing custodes and doing that with them, you'd still be filling out all their names.
Oh, that's all you would do in the hobby. I just write names all the time.
That is, they're the ones like 1,000 names or whatever they get every 5 days or whatever, their name something new.
Yeah. Don't they like inscribe their names on the inside of their armor?
I thought it was their cloak, but yeah, no, you're probably right. Probably armor. It makes more sense. Because that would be like a weird, like, man, my cloak got burned up and I got to do this all over again.
What is Brother Thaddeus doing? He's rewriting his name on his cloak.
That's how they mess with new custodes. They just keep setting their cloaks on fire.
It just gets lost in the laundry.
I'm sorry, I need to preface this. Allegedly.
Inquisition, don't come looking for us.
That's right. that is funny. I think that's I think the lore and matching them with the things is like one of the coolest ways. And going back to talking about introducing people that had never played 40K before, you know, some of the things, you know, I was mentioning is that, and we've done this, you know, on the show, is like, this is a hobby you can spend a lot of time in. You could, and there's no bad ways to be a fan of the property. Like you could want to paint, you could just, you know, you could want to build figures. You could just want to read the stories. You could just want to play, you know, you could just want to, you know, look at some of the stuff on the website. You know, you can look at other people's stuff. Like, there's really no bad way to be a fan. And, you know, that's cool.
Yeah. I feel like I like to engage in all aspects of Warhammer, except the video games, just because I know I would just completely lose my life in them. So it's like, it's just better to not even try even once. But yeah, the lore is definitely something, like creating my own lore is something I'm really interested in. So this is the project for it. And I think choosing the army that I've played the most and potentially will also play the most going forward in the future is probably the best option to start off doing that.
Yeah, that makes sense. Going from orcs to guard has got to be kind of interesting transition.
It's really interesting. So I played orcs, you know, in the entirety of 10th so far, and they're really fun, but they are very counter to my natural play style. I guess because I guess I'll talk to you about like why I decided I was going to switch. I had been kind of toying with the idea, and then I went to play on tabletop and I brought my orcs and I played the game in a decidedly un-orky kind of way. And while I was playing that, I was like, I'm playing this like I would play guard. The entire time I played that game. And I was like, I just need to go back to guard for a while. That's just like my comfort zone. You know, I did over 6 months of, you know, out of my comfort zone. So I think I've earned the chance to go back a little while.
you've done some penance or whatever. And
yeah,
now you can go back to long range artillery.
Yeah, like I thought I could learn how to play aggressively. Like I just thought I could learn it. And, you know, I probably could if I kept like slogging along. But at the end of the day, it's still a game, right? Like I still want to have fun. And not saying my orcs aren't fun, but, you know, winning is also fun. So I would like to win a few games. My win rate is not as terrible as it has been in the past, but it's not where I'd want it to be. So, going back to something that's a little bit more comfortable, at least for, you know, a few months and a few events and things, I think will, it'll be good for the old self-esteem, I think.
People get ooh and all over your newly refreshed miniatures as well.
Yeah, I don't think anybody really cares around me locally about the paint.
They're probably just used to seeing your glorious miniatures and have already seen them, but no, they're very nice.
Well, thank you very much. I do, like I said, I enjoy all aspects of it, so I want my models to be at a certain level, and I don't care if other people appreciate it or not. It's for me.
It's a great attitude to have. Comparison, yeah. You know, we'd say the thief of happiness or whatever.
That's right.
You were recently also on a 40K in 40 minutes, which was amazing.
It
was
Did you watch it?
Oh, yeah.
Aw.
Look.
Yeah.
You're on something. I'm going to watch it, you know?
Aw.
I
watched the things that you guys are on, too.
Well, we had Nurgle Snurgle on a segment. How long ago? It was a while ago.
It was in ninth for sure. Yeah, it was a while ago. A year ago?
Both y'all were on play on tabletop, 40K in 40 minutes, and it was very entertaining.
Yeah, we had a lot of fun. Filming a battle report at Play On is an adventure, and it is probably the longest game that you will ever play.
Yep.
And and like by the end of the game, she was cooked. I was like, turned to her, was like, "Are you okay, Kaylee? Hello, are you all right?" Yeah, but we had lots of fun, and you know, I think it was an eye-opening experience for her to see all the stuff that goes into the behind the scenes and whatnot. So, yeah,
being on, like, you know, personality beaming, you know, energetic on for any period of time can be exhausting.
Yeah, and our mutual friend was there also, just sort of like watching the game and enjoying the behind the scenes. And she told me after the fact that she's like, "Man, you're just able to flick a switch and be on for those interviews," because they do sort of interviews throughout the game. And I was like, "Oh, really? Is it really that drastic?" She's like, "Yes, it is." But it's, I don't know if you find it's the same way, but as soon as you know that they're recording, are you just able to like turn it on?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's alarming to other people. They're like, "What is happening over there right now?"
Yeah.
100%. Yeah. I didn't even realize I was doing it, but yeah, apparently I do it too now. You guys are rubbing off on me.
It's all these years of training.
One of us.
Yeah. Well, we should do a pre-show. We should record some of the pre-show sometime where we're talking basically about nothing about 40K and then instantly jump into the show. But it is exciting. So anyway, that's cool. I suggest people go check it out because it's very nice. And,
so do you understand what I mean then when I said I played in a decidedly un-orky way?
Yeah.
did you pick up on what I was throwing down?
Yeah, I mean, I can see it, but at the same time, you know, there's you can kind of play almost like a control element with orcs too. Like a hyper aggressive orc list doesn't always necessarily have to be all over the place, you know. So, you know, different styles.
I still feel like I was all over the place, but for defensive purposes, not like get stuck in purposes.
That's all good too. What's everybody else got going on? I know we over the next couple of shows, which I'm gonna try to get us out every week this month as we close out the year and get ready for all the new tidings and everything coming at the beginning of next year. And imagine like we're already almost at the end of the year. It's been a quick one, seemingly quick one.
Yeah, I actually agree. I feel like this year has gone like it feels like just a few months ago it was LVO, but it's been almost a year. Like, where did that time go?
Yeah, it disappeared.
Yeah,
we're not quite hit our year in review episode. Last year, maybe it's the last year, the year before, we did like a small segment on like what not to get someone for the holidays, you know, basically gaming related, you know, because it's difficult to shop for gamers. And I actually had this happen at the booth. Someone came into the booth and said they wanted to get something for their significant other. Mm-hmm. I was like, oh, cool. What would you like to get? She's like, I don't know, but they play vampires. Like, well, okay. Like, well, here's the, I can take you to where, you know, the Soulblight Grave Lords and everything is, and you can pick out something cool that you like. I was like, well, I don't know what they have. I'm like, well, I mean, it's difficult to buy for a Warhammer player because we are ones that if we want something or need something for, you know, whatever reason, you know, needs a strong word, but you know what I'm saying? You need something for an event or you need something because it looks so cool. You just get it when it's available.
I have a godsend for people who want to tell their spouses what to get them, but don't want to tell them what to get them.
Okay. Okay.
So you download this app called Pinterest. And then you start a board that says Christmas wish list. And then you just take the URLs and you just pin everything you want to the wish list. And like, there's a good chance that your significant other already has this app already. And you just share the list with significant other. And you can even add to it all the time. Keep adding to it. And then they can just, you know, pick stuff off your list.
There we go. Well, that's one way to do it. But I can just appreciate how difficult it is to get things. Especially, you know, look, they love Warhammer. You want to get them something they love. But it's just kind of really can put you in a weird spot when you're trying to pick out something and you're not familiar with what, you know, you're not familiar with what their army list is. You know, you don't know what the hot trends in the meta is. You know, you don't know what they may already have gotten for themselves yet. You don't know if they need that third land speeder or whatever. You know, it's just hard. It's a hard prospect to get something Warhammer related.
I literally told my mom, don't buy me art supplies.
The other thing you can do is take a photo of their collection and just bring it in with you. And then dead set the nerd or the super nerd working behind the desk will just zoom in and be like, yeah, so they have this. Ah, they only have three of these. You should get another one of those. Yeah. That kind of stuff.
It worked out at the booth, you know, and they're like, well, they play, you know, Astro Militarum. Like, well, have they ever been to a U.S. event? I'm like, no. Okay, well, we have a, you know, a limited edition U.S. event only Commissar. You know, that's something that they probably don't have. That's a good one to get.
The objective markers at the events are like choice because you can only get them at events, right?
Yeah, you can. It looks so cool.
Yeah. Do you know what my local game store has done this Christmas?
It is.
They have started a gift registry. So you, as a nerd, can just walk in and you start a page in the gift registry and you can just walk around with this book and just write down all the stuff in the store that you would like for Christmas. And then your partner just comes in and says, my partner has a gift registry here. And then you as the staff member can go around with the book and like, this is on the list, this is on the list, this is on the list. It's fantastic.
There we go. That's not a bad idea.
Yeah.
So you could always just ask them what they want also. That's something. But I know when you want to be a surprise and spontaneous, it's just so difficult. But if anyone is looking for some good ideas for the nerd that has everything, you know, maybe hit us up on some of our socials and we can maybe help with that process if anybody's called to do that as far as their gifting goes. But that's it for now. That's been a show. We are going to try to get some shows out this whole month, like I just mentioned, and really looking forward to it. Going to have probably, I'll see if Jay from Discount Games can get on next week to talk about what's going on at their place for a few minutes. And yeah, other than that, looking forward to it. I hope you all have a really good rest of y'all's evening, and we'll see y'all next week.
Adam, are you going to say bye?
Well, I was waiting for you in homage. Well, I was waiting for Red, to be honest.
He's going to be Adam. I'm so good disappointed night, everybody. In you.
Good night, everybody. Absolute pleasure.
Bye, everybody.
What they said, but I already subscribed. You better do it too.